Welcome DFS, this is Solution Sports once again. This is JB from Solution Sports. So definitely the topic of today is the MLB, Major League Baseball, Daily Fantasy Strategy, trying to give out a little information. You know, information is power, right? It is power. So, some good baseball yesterday. Had a little bit better pitching on the mound. Had some good performances. A lot of stuff going on at the top of the standings, as we know. Got a lot of, a lot of dramatic home runs and a lot of guys that are doing very well. They're consistent. We see Mookie Betts heating up a little bit, coming back from his injury. That Boston team is tough. I mean, they went in there to Seattle. I mean, before the game started, some of the inside reporters from Seattle, they predicted a pitching duel. I'm like, what? Like, how did they know this is going to be a pitching duel? Of course, we know David Price is on the mound. He is a very strategic pitcher, very good with location. He does mix speeds very well. I want to give a good shout-out to David Price yesterday. I mean, Seattle by no means is a team that you can just take for granted. And he came in there. He dealt on them. Got the win. It was a 2-1 final. I mean, Seattle, again, early on my podcast, I said, look out for these guys. They're hitting the ball with authority. They got speed at the top of that lineup. I mean, they got power at the bottom of the lineup. The manager has a lot of flexibility with the offense, and the pitching is not doing bad at all either. So, Felix Hernandez was on the mound. I was a little skeptical about him. That's why I was like, well, you know, there's always going to be a pitching duel. I'm like, well, Felix Hernandez hasn't been doing awfully well this year. But he actually pitched a pretty good game last night. It wasn't bad at all. Had his fair amount of strikeouts yesterday. And as a matter of fact, I just want to kind of give a highlight on that. So he pitched 7 innings. He gave up 8 hits. I mean, he was in the positive. He had a negative fantasy point performance against Tampa Bay back on June 9th. But he got over 100 pitches, which is good for him. Even though he got the loss, that's good for their pitching rotation. You know, he had a good outing against a tough team. They just wanted a little bit more. We saw Bogaerts hit a very important home run in that game. That's what you look for when you're playing baseball. You know, you want good pitching, you want some dramatic hitting. You got Kimbrel coming there at the end. He got the save. It was a little erratic there at the beginning. You know, when he takes the mound, he always gets a little bit out of control, and then he settles himself down. So, look at the slate. A lot of games today, once again. It's typical Friday, start of the weekend. You got the head of the pitching order here up. A lot of good pitching, a lot of high salaries for pitching. So definitely make sure when you're investing in your pitching tonight that you're all in, and you get a good value based on the opponent. Sometimes a pitcher can be on his game, and it really doesn't matter where the team is in their metrics was hitting. They could be hitting 400 and slugging 1,000, but they're going against a Scherzer or a Kluber or a Sale. He just sits everybody down one by one by one by one by one. So pitching is a very, very important aspect. We saw Price yesterday. He had 7 innings. He ended up getting 7 strikeouts. He doesn't really get in that 8 to 12 strikeouts as he used to, but he's still efficient enough. He only gave up 1 earned run, didn't give up any home runs yesterday, which is good. I mean, he had a couple people in that lineup that had batted pretty good against him. Cruz won, but he kept everybody at bay, man. Gave up 5 hits and 7 innings pitched, so his hits ratio per inning was lower than innings pitched, which is always a good sign. It was good. I mean, he had 28 fantasy points. Who would expect that? You know, him being a lefty going against a lot of those right-handers in that lineup, proves his worthiness as a pitcher this year. Very good game. Just want to highlight that one. Astros are doing their thing out there on the West Coast. Verlander picked up the win yesterday against the A's. Cleveland had a great performance by Clevinger. He was in my lineup. All my pitching, I pretty much aced yesterday. I knew exactly what direction to go in. White Sox could not do anything. His spin ratio on his breaking ball was just outrageous. He was fanning, had good location on the outside of the plate. Very good. Surprisingly, Minnesota took the loss yesterday against Detroit. Fulmer came out. He was very aggressive on the plate and challenged the Minnesota batters, and he picked up a win. So another good win for Detroit, trying to get up to 500. They're 33-37 after that win. Houston is 45-25, exactly 20 games over 500. Another good pickup for San Francisco, bouncing back against Miami. They end up winning in 16 innings. That game went very long. 63 over the Marlins yesterday. We saw Pudge Rodriguez's son on the mound. Had a pretty good pitching out in there. I mean, gave up 2 runs. I mean, they had like a 3-1 lead there. And he walked the batter and they took him out. And after that, Miami ended up tying the game and went to long innings. So, again, another pitcher's part there. But San Francisco picking up a much needed win. For the National League West. Again, they're one game under 500. You got to kind of watch San Francisco. They're a sneaky team. They play very good at home, not as good as on the road. They're 19-11 at home and 15-24 on the road. So Arizona picked up another good win yesterday. They were going against the Mets. They jumped out on Koch early. Nimmo hit an early first inning home run. It was kind of surprising, just like Duffy. Duffy hit the first pitch in and home run in the game against German, against the game yesterday. Very, very interesting game. Looked like Tampa Bay might have really ran away with the game. And the Yankees, they woke up there in the middle part of the innings there in the fourth, fifth inning. The offense took over, and they came together with a good game plan. Again, the rookies in that lineup, they're doing amazing. Gleyber Torres, another big home run there. Even when Judge doesn't go out the park, he's still hitting the ball to authority. Had a couple good strong base hits up the middle. Got on base, helped his team generate some runs and stuff like that. Got offense going. So, again, another out in. Let's go and get into the games. You know, I'm on Anchor Podcast. Want to give a shout out to the Anchor guys for giving opportunities like me, guys who are very stout in the sports world, to be able to talk about it, and to all the people who are beginning to latch on and picking up on the links on Twitter. And or gaining any relevant information. I'm doing a little bit earlier today, trying to keep up with the guys them who get up a little bit earlier than I do, but trying to put it out there so you guys have a little bit more time to digest the information and use it to your advantage. Atlanta, another great game yesterday. I listened to the game on the radio 92.9. I am a resident of Atlanta. And Anibal Sanchez had a great game, man. I mean, the guy's a lowly salary pitcher on DraftKings, but he has a lot of experience. He was heavily rostered. We know San Diego is San Diego and Miami in metrics. They're at the bottom of batting statistics. So even if you have a pitcher that's not highly rostered salary wise, I won't say highly rostered, but not highly salaried, and they're going against somebody like San Diego and Miami, more than likely he can definitely meet his metrics or his FPTS average, because they just don't do very good in bringing runners in. They don't really have anyone outside of Hosmer in San Diego that hits consistently. We saw Hosmer brought some runs in there at the end of the inning. He's up there in the league in multi-hit games during the season. He's right there playing in the middle of the order. He's a left-hander. He's definitely someone that Atlanta has to account for when they're on the mound. So, first game, let's get into it. We got on Miami and Baltimore. That's what we got going on there. as for pitching, the probables right now is Gausman. for Baltimore and Jose Urena, right? So with Baltimore, the first thing I always do is I'm like, man, let me go and look at, well, how are they playing in their last 10, you know? Baltimore's got a lot of issues right now. And when I do daily podcasts and, you know, and I'm doing my podcast daily or at least a back-to-back recording, I'm very, very critical about Baltimore. You know, I always want to see every team, no matter who they have roster, at least be competitive. But, man, I mean, they lost to Boston 5-1. They just can't really keep up with anybody with the pitching situation that they have on. And they have 19 wins. I think they have, yeah, the league lowest amount of wins in the league this year right now, sitting at 19-48.284 winning percentage. It cringes when, if you're a Baltimore fan, you're like, man, is this a A-ball team or something, man? Yeah, 27.5 games back. They just need to put them in a separate division by themselves and just put work in progress division for this team, man. I mean, these guys got to pick it up. They got to have some pride about their fans and being in the American League East, you know, representing that whole division, man. It just doesn't look good for them. They're losers of their last 7. I mean, can you blame Buck Showalter? Probably not. I mean, he doesn't really have a lot to work with right there with his pitching, but hopefully, man, the guys him can get better. I mean, you saw Manny had a little illness there early in the week. He had a day off, came back. He's a little stagnant right now. Right now, in his last 4 games, he had 2 against Boston and 2 against Toronto. You know, has went deep, hasn't had a double, hasn't had a triple. He's in 15-7. His last 4 games, I mean, he's probably averaging 4 fantasy points right now. So, we're looking for Manny to step it up. You know, I mean, if you're someone that plays daily fantasy or just a fan of the game, you know, today he's going up against Urena. Urena's been pretty average this year. Doesn't get, again, with Urena, when I do talk about him, he just doesn't get a lot of run support. That's one of his issues. And he does have a high ERA. Took the loss against San Diego back on June 10th. He always hovers around like 10 to 15 fantasy points when he has a decent matchup, which he does have today against Baltimore. He, you know, he had 3 earned runs against San Diego, 4 against St. Louis. San Diego, on the road, he had 1. He gave up 1 earned run to them. Gives up at least a home run per start. I mean, he does, in his metrics, he has a few zeros there. Not a lot, but he is noted to give up the long ball from here to there. And then this is a team, even though they're struggling bad, they do have some power up and down their lineup. I do see a home run, maybe even 2, given up in this game. They do face a lot of right-handers throughout the year, as Baltimore do. Not too many lefties in their lineup outside of Chris Davis. I did see Adam Jones get a day off the other day, so hopefully he can come back and get a little bit refreshed. As for Gausman, going against Miami, I mean, you can probably take a flyer on him. He's for another high ERA. 4.58 is his ERA. Again, you got 2 pitchers right now that their ERAs are over 4. So you probably do expect a little bit of offense. This game is not played in Miami, which is definitely a pitcher's park. It's played in Baltimore. This is a game where I can see Baltimore getting out the black hole, as we can say. This is a team that definitely probably pray to get up in the morning and see that, hey, they're on their radar. For once, they're a favorite in the money line. They're -160, but that doesn't mean a lot for the consensus. I mean, Miami is winning the consensus 51%, Baltimore 49%. So it can go either way. It's probably a good game to bet on, actually, if you want to just go against Baltimore at this time. And I know Vegas probably had a headache with this, with the money line, trying to pick who they think was going to actually come out and win. But I don't really want to get too much into these teams. It's not really much to really go on with the pitching situation, except for, you know, the pitchers are noted to give up home runs. Gausman is a home run machine. Gave up one against Toronto, two against the Yankees, one against Tampa Bay. Yeah, two against Boston, you know, two against Detroit. So, I mean, teams that do have some power in the lineup, again, I consider these maybe about four home runs in this game, you know, definitely. Both teams coming off a loss, so I'm pretty sure they want to get back in the winning ways of things. Thing about Gausman, I mean, he can get a little bit hot. He can get strikeouts here and there. He's a righty. He's 8,500, so his salary went up by $1,200. I mean, he went against Toronto, which is not that great of a team, and his salary is 7,300 against Toronto. Now he's pitching against Miami, is 8,500. So, I mean, proceed with caution with him. I mean, by no means Miami is a pushover anyway. When you buy somebody that price, that can probably do a little bit of damage. Is it a little bit high? Yeah, probably. You know, if you want to look at some of the other pitchers tonight, in that range, just start at 8,000. You got Zach Godley going against the Mets at 8,100. John Lester at 8,300. We got the Cubs and St. Louis, a very historic matchup there. He's up here with Gio Gonzalez and John Lester. And Pacello at $600 more going against Seattle. So proceed with caution with Gausman. I mean, if you do multiple lineups, I don't see it as a bad idea to roster him. The problem is that for the 8,500, how much are you expecting to get? And, you know what I'm saying? He does have some 20 fantasy point performances. He had 28.3 back on May 22nd against the White Sox. And 21.9 against Tampa Bay. He has to get you over 25. He has to almost double that. And we know he's probably not going to hit 30. But, if you buy him, he definitely has to get you at least 25 plus fantasy points for that. If you see him doing that, definitely roster him. You know what I'm saying? He can get you about 90 pitches. And I can see him getting at least 6 to 9 strikeouts in this game. So, hopefully, you know, Baltimore comes out and they put up some runs. That's the main thing, you know. as for Jose Urena, again, he picked up a win against St. Louis on June 5th, and he had a loss against San Diego. He doesn't really walk that bad. I mean, he had no walks against San Diego in his previous start. One against St. Louis in the win he had. And he had a no decision against San Diego. He had 20 fantasy points. He averages around probably like, I've watched him pitch before. He can't get you by 5 strikeouts. He definitely has to keep his ball down. You know, that's his only issue. When he starts getting a lot of fly balls, he will definitely start giving up home runs. And that doesn't spell well against Baltimore. So, over-under in that game is 8.5. You know, for both pitchers having ERAs over 4, I can definitely coincide with that. It could be easily a 8-5-3 game. That one's kind of tough. But they put that .5 right there just in case. It goes crazy. So, as for, you know, doing a little bit early, today, so not too many of the lineups have been posted yet. We know Jose is a righty, so, really don't know who Showalter is going to have at the top of the lineup. He was using Joey Rickett up there before. Sometimes he might put Mancini up there. But definitely with him having a high ERA, pretty sure Adam Jones would be back in there. Trumbo. I mean, I'll definitely roster some people with some power in the lineup for sure. I mean, you can definitely go with Manny. Hopefully Manny with the day off, you know, he's doing a lot better. He's at 5,000. That's not bad when you're paying like $6,000 for Trout and Betts and people like that, and Charlie Blackman at 5,500 to 5,800. Definitely like Manny in the game. You know, I'm gonna like the middle of the order right there. I think Mancini will get some balls to hit today. Definitely liking the outfielders. Liking the outfielders for Baltimore. I'm liking the shortstop there, Machado. All right. So definitely roster some bats in that game. Watched Miami bat yesterday. It was pretty aggressive. Bohr did get a hit yesterday against Rodriguez. And you know, we saw Brinson hit a ball all the way to the warning track. I mean, he showed a little bit of power. He just hit to the wrong part of the field. That guy, Brian Anderson, is a young, nice young talent. I mean, he's batting over 300. One thing I'm looking out is, you know, the strikeout. He does kind of maybe strike out every so often, every other game. Not a lot. He doesn't. He only has like one multi-strikeout game in his past like 10-game log. Hasn't went deep in the last three games. Had one against San Francisco in their 4-game matchup. You know, definitely I like Brian Anderson. Normally bats right there in the second or third spot in the order. Going up against Gosman, he's definitely gonna look to try to get his pitches. Real Muto again. You know, another guy batting over 300 in that lineup. He does a lot for that team. They're gonna need the top of that lineup to definitely register some action. They have to jump on Gosman. You know, the thing about Gosman, if he starts getting in that strikeout mode and getting comfortable, it's gonna be a long night for Miami. So, Real Muto, the guys at the top of that lineup, when they get to Bohr and so on like that, it's gonna be really important for them to try to get some people on base. Maybe be a little bit aggressive. Starlin Castro had some pretty good hacks yesterday. He did get one hit. Sometimes they will put him at the top of the lineup also. Had a lot of at bats. They're just going to get anything going in that game. It went long innings, but again, that's been the pedigree of Miami. Not a very good, solid contact hitting team. Kind of undisciplined at times. Castro does strike out, you know, pretty regularly. He does give you about one every game. He goes up there hacking. He doesn't have as much power as he thinks he does. But, you know, he got 7 fantasy points yesterday, 2 in the game before that against San Francisco, and back on the 12-8, and he had a dud. So, you know, you use a play for Chicago. He got traded over here. Not really what they bargained for, but again, it looks like a great game for Baltimore. I mean, these guys had a long game last night. They got to drag and travel to to Baltimore for a game. It might be a good day to catch Miami coming off that plane today. They'll probably be dragging. All right. So some of the usual suspects. I mean, I'm pretty sure Bohr as a left-hander. Definitely like him, like Brian Anderson. And Real Muto, I'll definitely go with those guys. If you want to do something very sneaky, I won't get too many bats off of this team because I really don't know where their mental psyche will be. Rojas didn't do much yesterday. You know, he just came in. He got one at bat in that game. I think he pinch hit it, but he didn't do anything. The game before that, he had 4 at bats. He had 1 hit. So they're not hitting very well. Not really hitting for much power these days. And Baltimore really needs to get out of that loss column. So I'm all for Baltimore in that game. Again, that's what Vegas is seeing, minus 160. I definitely like Baltimore in that game to win. I see more offense being put out there by Baltimore. Urena really hasn't shown you much of any dominance this year. So I definitely see Baltimore being more of a favorite. I wouldn't really mess with too many bats for Miami. I saw maybe Bohr and Real Muto, honestly. All right, so let's kind of move on from that one. I don't spend a lot of time on that game, but, you know, that's what I do. You got Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. And basically, the consensus in this one is Pittsburgh is a favorite. You know, minus 141 on the money line. Neither of these teams played yesterday. They both had the day off. Heavy consensus. Pittsburgh is 76% today. It's a 9 over under. So anytime I see anything in the 9 range and up, it predicates offense. We want to look at both teams. Both teams really doesn't have like dominant pitching. Probables are Chad Cool and, oh my gosh, and Matt Harvey. So Chad Cool, has a 3.95 ERA. He's 4-4. In his last start against Chicago, he gave you 5 innings. He didn't get over 20 fantasy points. One thing that has struggled when you look at his metrics, he struggles to even get his average sometimes. He has one lone bright spot against Milwaukee back on May 6th. So think about where we are now and where that was. He has 34 fantasy points. Outside of that, he's been hovering around like early teens, anywhere from 10 to 15 fantasy points. His FPPG is 12.8 on the year. As for his last four starts, he had two on the road previously, which is Chicago and St. Louis, two teams that are playing at a decent level right now. Except for, we know Cubs bats is pretty quiet right now. They ain't getting nothing really going offensively up there in Milwaukee, except for one game where they woke up there in the latter innings to squeak out the one win they had. And then he pitched at home against Chicago and didn't do anything in that game. He only gave up one earned run. He lost that game. He gave him 6 innings, but again, he didn't get any run support. That's kind of the problem with him here lately. He hasn't been getting a lot of run support in his starts, and he hasn't picked up a win in his last four starts. So with things turned the tide for him, fortunately, he's running into Cincinnati. He is a right-hander. He's faced him one time he had two games against him this year. He pitched 11 innings. That's about 5.5 innings apiece average, and he's given up 10 hits. So they're seeing the ball pretty decent against him. His whip is 1.27 against Cincinnati this year. Batting average at .250 and an ERA at 2.46. In 11 innings pitch, he's giving you 13 strikeouts against them and 3 earned runs. Pretty serviceable numbers. Nothing that's going to say, it's more over dominant or anything of that nature. So, we got Matt Harvey, who again, has not been the same for a long time with Matt Harvey. He did pitch in the last start. Typical story of Matt Harvey this year is that he gives up the long ball pretty consistently. He just doesn't. He's almost like a brother of Bartolo Colon, but he's just not as old as Colon. He's been through some arm surgeries and things of that in his career, and it has affected his pitching. I mean, he's not really been the same pitcher. In his last three games, he got you under 10 fantasy points. He hasn't even hit double-digit fantasy points in his last three games. His last three opponents has been St. Louis, San Diego on the road, and Colorado on the road. And both of them handled him pretty decently. I mean, he gave you 5 innings against San Diego on the road. It was a 8-2 result loss. He had like 4 earned runs to San Diego, he's not getting a lot of strikeouts as he used to. He only had 3 strikeouts in 5 innings against San Diego, and then he had 4 strikeouts against Colorado on the road. So when you're giving up runs and not striking people out, that's not a good recipe. And he's going against Cincinnati. I respect Cincinnati a lot. They do have some offense in their lineup. And then he throws right-handed. So, and we know the strength of their lineup. They have some lefties in that lineup that can give him some issues. So, definitely proceed with caution in that game. I see more of an offense in that game, definitely. And we're going to look up a couple other metrics real quick. I want to get to one thing here. Let's look at this and pull that up. So we're going to go to Cincinnati because this could be a very important game offensively. And let's go to Scooter. And I want to kind of look up some things on him. Against Cool, he has 14 at-bats. This is Scooter Gennett. Right now he's batting an impressive .341 average on the year, 12 home runs. He has one homer against him. His average is .143. He has 2 hits and 14 at-bats against Scooter. Against Cool, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Scooter Gennett. So Cincinnati average on the year, they're 25-43. And Pittsburgh is still trying to get up to that 500 spot there, 33-35. Again, on the road, let's see. they're at 15-20 on the road, and then they're 18-15 at home. So they're at home. They won their last game. They squeaked out a win against Arizona, if you guys can recall that. Pittsburgh is 3-7 in their last 10. So they're back where they play better at home. They're 8 games behind Milwaukee in the National League Central. They need to really try to take care of business today and try to get back over 500. They definitely need to win at least 2 out of 3 in this matchup against Cincinnati. Has to be all business with this team today. Chad Cool, he's gonna have to come out. I don't think it's gonna come easy for him. I mean, he got some tough left-handers he got to deal with, and even some of the right-handers are pretty good. I mean, he got Jose Peraza as a righty, Suarez as a righty. We just went over Gannett, and then we got Votto also. So, I know definitely Joey Votto will be in the lineup, being a lefty. He pretty much has done very well against Cool. 5 hits and 9 at-bats. He has a double and a home run and 2 RBIs. He's batting .556. He's a very experienced guy. He's seen a lot. He's batting over 300, 304. He got 6 home runs. let's look at this here. Definitely, if you want something to contribute, we know there's a lot of power in that first base position. I'm definitely liking Votto, man. I mean, if Cool comes out and he has some little issues at the top of the lineup, and he gets to the heart of the order there where Votto could be in that 3 or 4 position, he's going to have some problems. I mean, even though the consensus is high for Pittsburgh, 76%, 24% for Cincinnati, that over and under is still at 9. So they're looking at offense definitely in that game. on the other side, Matt Harvey is going to definitely factor into that. Pretty sure Polanco will definitely be in the lineup, being that he's left-handed. Want to definitely look at his metrics and see how that will factor in. and, I mean, he's pretty decent. I mean, he has a couple walks and 12 at-bats against Harvey. He has 3 hits. He does have a long ball against him and a triple. He has some home run prowess there. And he's batting .250. So, pretty decent numbers there, against Matt Harvey. And if you look at his splits, versus right-handed, his OPS is, everything is higher against right-handed pitching. 7 his home, out of his 8 home runs, again, Gregory Polanco has batting .204, 8 home runs, 32 RBIs. Out of the 8 home runs, 7 of them have been coming against right-hand pitching. So, just giving you a little plug on that, looking at the lefty-righty matchup in there, definitely liking what Polanco could possibly do today in that lineup. So, again, with it being a 9 over under, do I trust any of the pitchers in this game? definitely not Harvey, for sure. Don't look for anything dramatic or fireworks there. 4,800. Again, he almost has a salary of a batter. Not a lot of value there. If you're banking on Cool getting some run support and then being able to kind of pitch a little bit more aggressively, that could definitely be a fancy outcome. we got Corey Dickerson also. You want to look at him. Another very good, consistent left-hand batter in that lineup. And I'm just going, giving you some sauce right now, man. So, Corey Dickerson, he has 4 at-bats. Doesn't have an average, no hits, no walks, no homers, no anything of that against Harvey. So that could maybe be an advantage for Dickerson, actually, being that Harvey doesn't have as much velocity as he's had. We know Corey Dickerson, he plays better at night versus right-handed pitching. His average is pretty much the same, lefty versus righty. We do see his OPS and slugging go up a little bit more, .476 slugging and .816 OPS. and a .34 OBP. So again, two lefties in that lineup that could definitely do some damage against Harvey. Dickerson and Polanco, I like them both, definitely. And definitely want to look at Mr. Marte, even though he's a right-hander. Hasn't really did much. His average, he has 8 at-bats, just has a triple and a walk against Harvey. So, not too much to look into that there. As for his splits, versus right-handed pitching, his average is actually pretty good. He's batting a .306 average against righty. He has 8 homers on the year, and 5 of them have come versus right-handed pitching. So he's holding his own. He's holding his own. I mean, I'm seeing a possible Pittsburgh stack today. You know, I already like, let's see, Josh Harrison is one of my favorite players. I've already said much about that, and he's pretty much not being fooled by Harvey. He's batting .455. He has 11 at-bats against him and 5 hits, 2 RBIs, a double. I mean, everything looks good today against a pitcher that's very lowly salary on DraftKings. And everybody in that lineup looks solid, man, to facing up against Harvey today. Then say roster of Pittsburgh. I even put out there, do a Pittsburgh stat today and roll with it and see how it goes. They could definitely surprise people and get you off to a fast start there. Bats all in that game. Don't really trust much of the pitchers, but if you want to take cool, I would say definitely proceed with caution with that, because those left-handed batters in there, and we have a couple of those guys batting over 300 with power, and they, you know, he might give some issues in that game. Both those games in Miami, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh, good weather showing there. I'm going to run through the Yankees here, and look at this. We got Mr. Nathan Eovaldi on the mound. We know he used to pitch for the Yankees, and he had great fastball and good stuff, but people used to take him over the yard. It doesn't matter how hard he was pitching up there. He has been known to give up the long ball throughout his career. We know he's come off of Tommy John surgery. That first game he came back against Oakland, he had a great, great performance, man. He had 24.9 fantasy points. He had 4 strikeouts in that game, gave you 6 strong innings, didn't give up any hits. You know, he took him out again because, you know, he's rehabbing to a certain extent. But after that, the old Eovaldi came back. He had 5 against, and both of those teams he went, after he came back on May 30th, he had a game on the road against Washington, which is not an easy customer. He gave up a home run, had 4 earned runs. It was a loss for him. And then he had Seattle at home on June 10th, his last start. It was a no decision. It was a 5-4 result. And he only had 3 strikeouts. So his strikeouts were not there like we normally know him to get. He's 5,300. I mean, he's going against a tough Yankees team. They probably got a lot of info on him just because he used to pitch for the organization. Hasn't really been giving you 7 innings or more. I don't really see a lot of value in Eovaldi today. He will definitely, if he comes out and starts off and gets on the groove, it will be due to just 4 leaf clovers. It'll just be one of those luck things. Does it make sense to take this guy against a great Yankees team? No, it doesn't. The laws and science of the fantasy world says, hey, to fade this all the way. He's given up home runs in his last 2 games. 2 out of his last 3 starts, he got less than 90 pitches. Doesn't get a lot of strikeouts. He's been giving up hits, almost more hits per innings pitch, or almost about the same. So I don't really like Eovaldi at all. You have a young guy here, Jonathan Loaisiga, and he's called up from Tampa Bay to make a expected start today. So we got an unknown factor with Eovaldi coming up, not knowing where he's going to be in his rehabilitation starts. And then you got a guy being called up from AA, basically. So very unknown factors for the pitching. Jonathan is a right-hander. His salary is $6,400. On here, it says that, we read the analysis on DraftKings, it says, Loaysa began the year with high A Tampa and has made just 6 starts above that level. But his performances this season has been impressive with a 3.00 ERA. He has a 58-4 K walk split between Tampa and Double A Trenton. And he'll take the hill opposite of Nathan Eovaldi on Friday. So, you know, based on this, reason he's giving a shot here, it's probably a good shot for him to have him setting up for failure like some other teams do when they bring them up. And the next, you know, they start against the Yankees or Houston or some powerhouse team. But he's noted down in the A ball that he has strikeouts. So he's a strikeout pitcher. He is a righty. There are a few lefties in that lineup with Tampa Bay. Bowers, one of them, that could maybe give him a little problem. CJ Cron just didn't look himself. He struck out a whole lot yesterday. I think he struck out like every at bat yesterday against the Yankees. Joey Wendell had a good RBI hit there. He's a lefty there. Matt Duffy, again, we saw what he did in the first pitch against Marquez. I mean, German. Yesterday, took him deep. And outside that, you know, Matt Smith, he's doing good. He got blown away by Chapman last night, but who doesn't? But he's been hitting the ball very good from the left side. So there are some opportunities with some of the lefties in the lineup with Tampa Bay. If you want to get sneaky and maybe take a Matt Smith, and he might get on the base and maybe steal a base or two. Bauer show some power. in that Toronto series, definitely. I saw some people take Tampa Bay stacks yesterday, ironically. So, and the day before that against Toronto. So, they are a sneaky team. They're a team that's up and coming with their development. I kind of like where they're going with their development over some of the other teams that are struggling right now. So, not definitely proceed with caution. I would not try to really roster that young guy, Jonathan, for the Yankees. We don't know how many innings they really gonna have him pitch. He might only go 3-4 at the most 5 innings, and who knows, you know, how he's gonna be able to strike out on the major league level. So a lot of question marks for both those pitchers. Definitely, I would roster the typical normal. Yankees batters, pretty sure they're going to be highly favored today. And they are. They're minus 205 on the money line. They got a 9 over under. Again, that's because of the unknown aspect of the pitching. Even with that going forward, there's 63% consensus to win today, 37% against Tampa Bay. Them being at home, being a batter's park, everything is thumbs up for the Yankees today. I mean, Bird has been doing his part. Gregorius has been doing his part. All these guys can hit the fastball very well. So definitely you can pick whoever you want to in this Yankees lineup. I mean, Sanchez has been a little bit more patient, you know, in the lineup. He took some walks yesterday. Had some pretty good swings against. We know he's been on a home run drought. He hasn't went deep in a while. Can he get one today? Most possible, definitely. You know, most of the guys in the Yankees who haven't really went deep, this is an opportunity for them to get a good pitch today. We saw Stanton struggle yesterday. He put up a donut and then he had 4 at bats. I'm not certain again the inconsistency with him. I think it's just in his head. He has another good opportunity to come out and get some pitches to hit today. So I'm looking at Stanton, looking at, and once again, that middle of that order. Judge has always been very patient. The thing about him, you know, he knows when he's, you know, he hasn't been that aggressive. I've seen him, like, really just start off and, you know, he's 0-2. You know, he gets down 0-1. And, you know, he'll foul ball off, and then he'll look at a strike. And next thing you know, he's 0-2. He's, like, really been getting behind. And he hasn't been getting a favorable hitter's count. And I'm not certain why. I think he doesn't swing in a lot of first-pitch fastballs, or I don't know if that's just something he does. I mean, he's a great talent. I'm not saying he needs to change anything. But lately, I've just been seeing him get behind on the count a lot. And I think he needs to be a little bit more aggressive sometimes. And a part of that, too, is a lot of pitches. They really try to pitch around the strike zone on him. And then sometimes if the pitches are a little bit inside or off the plate, he get frustrated. And he just got to kind of just let that go and just be himself. He has a lot of power, man. And same thing with Stan. I think Stan does a worse job than Judge. I mean, Stan just obviously just gets totally thrown off the box when the strike zone isn't where he thinks it should be. So, again, we don't know where really the lineups are going to be posted, but we wait on Aaron Boone to do that. But, again, Yankees, man, definitely right here in my analysis so far, if you're doing stacks, Pittsburgh, definitely a stack. Yankees, definitely a stack. Valdi might get a few strikeouts here and there, but I don't really see him going long innings against the Yankees. I need him to jump out on him pretty early in that game, honestly. They're not going to fool around with Tampa Bay like they did. Snell came out. He started pretty good, but they got very patient on Snell yesterday, and they ran his pitch count up like crazy. And that's a great thing about a team that has a good hitting philosophy that listens to the directives of the hitting coaches. Be patient. Be patient. You know, you got four at-bats. He has to throw three strikes to get you out. If you're up there hacking, make him work for it. You know what I'm saying? And Snell had like about almost 80 pitches by the fifth inning. You know, he didn't last very long. He didn't qualify for the win or anything like that. So if Eovaldi starts missing in the strike zone and stuff like that, it's going to be a long night for him today. So let's move on to the next game. Very interesting matchup. We got the Washington Nationals against Toronto. And Toronto, you know, they were locked in there against Baltimore. And then when they left Toronto and they and they had to start traveling, they looked like the old Toronto once again. But that's my team. That's a characteristic of a below 500 team. You know, they just can't get consistency going. They're losers of their last three after wiping out Baltimore at home. They're 5-5 in their last 10. 17 games behind the Yankees, who have won. They won their last game against Tampa Bay, squeaking that game out. And then Boston, they're winners of their last four. So Boston is on a winning streak. And, you know, they're doing good. Boston is 7-3 in their last 10. So even Tampa Bay is playing better than Toronto right now. They're 32-36. So this is going to be a pretty interesting game. You got Gio Gonzalez on the mound. Gio's at 8,800 today. We saw him have some issues against San Francisco. They pulled him out of that game pretty early. He didn't get past five innings. You know, before that, he consistently gave you seven innings or more. Seven against Atlanta on the road, seven against Baltimore on the road, seven against San Diego. And when he's went seven innings or more in those games, he gave you double-digit fantasy points at 24, 22, and 22. I'm not going to be hard on him. I mean, he's been pretty consistent. But the thing about him, man, when he starts walking people, it just really frustrates you. And he's a slow starter. Like, he can't get out the first inning with any issues sometimes. It can be very frustrating because he's very good with his location. And he can go deep into the game. He can give you 100 pitches. The pitching coach and staff to have confidence in him, you know. And they need him to really step up right now with Strasburg being out and them really having to give some other opportunities to some of the younger guys coming up. If they're going to continue to play at a high level, this pitching staff is definitely going to need Gio Gonzalez to give them everything he has. They did win their last game against the Yankees, 5-4. They're a game to have back. Atlanta took care of business against San Diego, and they know right now Atlanta has an easy matchup against San Diego, and they can't roll over against Toronto. And Toronto needs to win also. So that's what I'm saying. This is going to be a really nice game. This is one I probably, you know, Toronto's one of my favorite teams, so I'll probably just sit back and watch this one closely. Let's look at the hidden aspect of this first. Josh Donaldson, he's still out. He's not going to be activated today. He's still trying to get over that calf injury he had. He's still rehabilitating. They say he's running the bases. I see him taking some ground balls in the outfield and trying to get back. So that's going to be a minus for them today, not having him. On the mound, they got Mr. Sanchez, Aaron Sanchez. This year he hasn't faced Washington, so he's going to have his hands full. Righty. on the mound there. He has a 4.34 ERA, which is not good against a powerhouse hitting team like Washington. And let's look at his place at home. It's a little bit better, not by much. His ERA is 4.03 at home, and away is 4.67. He's identical home run wise, home and away, four each. He hasn't won at home. He's 0-2 at home this year, so it's gonna be a little fear factor for him. Like, hey, am I gonna actually get a win today? But then look who he's going up against. He's going against the Nationals to try to get his first win. Doesn't spell too well for him on that. As for the consensus, Toronto is plus 120 underdogs. Heavy consensus for Washington. They're looking at offense, man. They put a 0.5 on top of that 9.5 over under in this game. So they expected some bombs away. We know Washington was kind of held down a little bit with their offense against the Yankees pitching. And this might be a game where they just go ahead and just unleash everything on these guys. They're getting back, man. They're getting back to Nationals ball. They got Danny Murphy back in that lineup. I don't know if he's going to start or not today because he was able to DH in the Yankees session. But this team, man, when they get healthy, I mean, they still got Zimmerman, who hasn't really been doing all that. But, I mean, when he comes back, that's going to be another addition. I mean, they're loaded at that first base. They got Rendon. At the third base, got Zimmerman, Matt Adams, Mark Reynolds, Howie Kendrick at first base. And we saw Soto put on a show in New York in the Yankees. Their outfield is, you know, you got Soto. Goodwin can play outfield. Adams can play outfield and first base. Adam Eaton is back at the top of that lineup. Harper right there. Taylor with speed. So this team is prime, man. I mean, you got to like what Washington and Atlanta has been able to offer to the Major League Baseball community, to fans of the game. I mean, they're very two good, well put together teams, well managed at the time. I really enjoy watching the Braves and the Nationals play when they come out. I don't have a lot of euphemism in Toronto today with Sanchez not showing any kind of command at home. High ERA. I like the left-handers, man. Again, here we go. I'm looking at this. Washington can definitely be a stack today also. With this many games on the matinee, a lot of people, especially in multiple lineup contests, they're definitely going to definitely play stacks. So, I mean, if you're getting in a $4 contest or an $8 contest, you better come with it, man, because there's going to be a lot of shifting because there's a lot of offense that's going to be available in these early games. I mean, these 7 o'clock games, I haven't even got to Minnesota and Cleveland yet. Offense all the way. Gio is a lefty, and that might stir some issues with him. I mean, there are some talented right-handers in Toronto's lineup with Teoscar Hernandez, Grichuk. You got some speed guys there, with Pilar, Devon Travis can give him a little issue. I'm not liking him. I've seen him be $10,000 before, and I'm talking about Gio. He's under 10 grand a day, and that's why. I mean, Russell Martin can hack at him. Smoke again. He's going to the right side, but still, I mean, Morales and Smoke can give him problems. Solarte, definitely offense. I'm putting it out there. I see offense in this game. Toronto, they kind of play up to their competition and play down to their competition, and that's what you get with a subpar 500 team. I think with them knowing Washington coming in town, they're going to be kind of hyped up, and they may want to kind of flex a little bit. So, Gio, you know, he's going to have to locate his pitches, use that outside plate corner. I do see him getting some strikeouts again because it is Toronto. But this is not a game that even the consensus of people think that they're going to just roll over them. I don't see them really just coming in here and just dominating Toronto like that. I think Toronto will get some runs on Gio. I will look up a metric. And let's look at... let's go to Toronto first. Before I do that, as a matter of fact, let's go to... let's just see the usual suspects. Let's see if these guys are actually worth rostering. So, We know Harper hasn't really came out the gate in June yet. I'll just give a quick statistic real quick. So he does like playing at night a lot better. His slugging is better. His OPS is better. He has a .561 in a night game. .94 for OPS. Average is a little bit better. His average is down. I mean, we look forward to seeing the average get at least over 250. He's been .224. Against right-handers, he's doing a lot better. .923 OPS, .548 slugging. Out of his 19 home runs, 14 of them has come against right-handers. On the road, average home and away is almost about the same, not much. His OPS is not, everything is pretty much around the same. So he's giving you consistency, whether he's at home or not. Definitely, Harper is definitely somebody that you can definitely roster in the lineup. Not certain, who they're going to have playing first base. I'm not even certain if they're going to put Murphy in there in the lineup today. I know Soto definitely is going to be in there. He's tearing it up in June, man. I mean, he has four home runs. He's batting .357. I like Soto, man, honestly. I mean, he's a lefty going against a righty. I like Soto. I like Harper. Matt Adams getting in there. Anybody in that first base position, roll with it, man. And they're playing inside, so the weather's not going to affect them today. So we're going to move on from that game. See a lot of offense. Don't really like any of the pitchers in that game. If you do want to take a flyer on, if you want to go with Gio, I say go with caution, man, because they got a lot of right-handers that can catch him. And you walk, he's thinking about him with his walking prowess and walking people, and all he needs is one of those right hands to catch him for a good fastball over the inner plate, and next thing you know, he's giving up 2-3 runs. Don't like that. It's just a scenario. When I play that in my head. Cleveland, dominance all the way. They got Kluber on the mound. And matter of fact, you know what I'm going to do? Let's go ahead and let's go ahead and look at Corey real quick. And in June, he's doing his thing. His whip is .80 in June. All right. And 15 in his pitch. You know, 12 hits, got 15 strikeouts in June. He's taking care of the strikeout department. Don't really have anything up here. Let's look at his splits. Again, we know he's scoring a 10-2 record. And he's one of the leaders in strikeouts along with Jared Cole. 103 strikeouts on the year. For his career, he's a 3.03. ERA for his career, and again this year he's at 1.99 under two. right now, he's a right-hander, and versus lefties, he's taking care of that. They only batting .188 against him. He has given up 12 home runs on the year, seven of them coming against lefties, and five against righties. So. He hasn't given up any triples, only one double from a left hand hitting perspective. He having a night game, he pitches a little bit better at night. His average is .195, ERA 1.78. Against Minnesota, his ERA is 1.35. They haven't taken him deep at all against Minnesota. And this is in 6.2 in his pitch. So he's holding his own against that team. You're going to pay a lot for Kluber. But definitely, we know some of the usual suspects in their lineup. Escobar. He's a switch hitter. And let's look up Escobar. We want to definitely do that. I'm doing a little bit of homework on this because he's a higher salary. Pitcher, and we're going to look at the two lefties. We look at Escobar and Rosario. I want to see if they've done any damage. If these two guys haven't really done anything, it's going to be a long night. It's going to be a long night for Minnesota. So we'll just start with let's start with Rosario because we know he's doing very well this year. He has 14 home runs, batting 310, 43 RBIs. His career in 20 at bats, he has 4 hits, one of them being a double and an RBI. He's batting 200 against Kluber this year. In June, he's batting 320, 16 hits. If you want to go for the unknown and want to be very contrarian, he does have a little bit of success. Is it outrageous success? No. I mean, not too many people are going to have outrageous success against this guy. So, let's look at Escobar real quick, and not much there. All right, so we're going to continue on the second part, and just tune in for that.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.